Okay, Parshas Vayera, Tavshin Samach Tes. We are working with the story of the Akedah. We're going to ask some basic questions, not even major philosophical questions, but technical questions about the story of the Akedah. But of course, the answer we will come up with will be a philosophical one, very relevant. Applies to everybody all the time. Here are some of the questions that we're starting with. Our first question will be our last answer. And that is on the word na. Vayomer, Hashem spoke to Avram and said, Kach na es bincha, please take your son. And as Avram understood that, you know, bring him up as a korban. Now, Rashi says there, Kach na, please take. And remember, there's a word vayomer. And remember what we talked about vayomer? We've learned about vayomer. As opposed to Vayidaber, Vayomer is that Hashem makes his will clear, makes it evident, but doesn't demand compliance. It's almost as if the person has to choose whether they will respond or they won't, but unlike Vayidaber, there's no demand that the person fulfill or live up to this expectation. If they can find it in themselves, that means they are on the level, and that speaks well of them. But if they can't, they're not necessarily punished for it. And here Rashi continues that idea and says, Kach na, ein na elo lashem bakasha. When Hashem said please, please, he was begging Avram. He said, please fulfill this nisayon. Please find the strength to do this because it's critical. He said, amud li bezeh nisayon, please stand up and fulfill, complete this nisayon. Because otherwise, if you don't, everyone will say, Harishonot lo hayu behem mamish. All the other challenges that you faced, and you were victorious with the, you know, in the struggle with the previous challenges, like Lech Lecha, like coming to Eretz Yisrael that Hashem promised him would be his land and his children would inherit, and having to leave because of a famine, like Sarah being taken to Avimelech, like fighting the wars with the four kings and the five kings. All of those things you've done for God. To bring that have led to an awareness of Hashem in the world, all of that will all be for nothing if you don't complete this test. So please, for the sake of everything you've done before, and for my sake, in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, in the sake of the awareness of Hashem in this world, this is the big one, and find the strength and push yourself, please fulfill it, please succeed. So, the question here is, why would everything that Avram have done till now, in the end, be meaningless if he doesn't fulfill this, if he's not successful in this nisayon? And that's our first question, and our last answer. And remember, if Avram does not fulfill this nisayon, if he fails, who will know? He just didn't sacrifice his son. Who will ever know? How will that undermine the fact that he came to Canaan and he called out in the name of Hashem for all these years? How will that undermine that? How will that undermine that he refused to take a penny from Sodom because he did it for God and not for the people of Sodom? How will it undermine all of the good he's done if nobody even knows that he didn't sacrifice his son? That's our first question, as we said in our last answer. And then we go further and ask some more, what seems to be technical questions here. The Torah spends a lot of time on describing to us all the effort and all the actions that Avram took in order to fulfill this mitzvah, what he sought to be this mitzvah, this nisayon. Here are some of the words. Vayash came, he got up early. Vayachbosh es chamoro, and he saddled his own donkey, out of love, enthusiasm. Vayikach, and he took his boys. Vayivaka atzei olen, he chopped down the wood for the sacrifice, for the altar. Vayakom, and he got up. Vayelech, and he went. He did a lot. He took a lot of actions. All of them bi'ava, Rashi tells us, in a way that's unusual. He didn't even resist and put it off and delay. He did it all himself. And yet at the end, when the Malach tells him to stop, he's done enough. Notice, the Malach makes no mention of any of the actions he took. He doesn't talk about his love, how he did this with enthusiasm. All he says is, stop. Ata yadati, now I know. Ki yorei Elokim ata, you're a God-fearing man. V'lo chasachta, this is what you accomplished. V'lo chasachta espincha, you didn't withhold your child. Now, the Torah specifically mentions all the actions he took. But in the end, the great achievement, he did not say no. Now, Rav Huttner points out in Maamar Tzadik Gimel in Sukkos, Rav Huttner points out that, and these ideas, the core of these ideas are based on Rav Huttner. He says, listen, think about it. If Hashem had come to Avraham's neighbor and said, go take Yitzchak and bring him up as an Ola, and the neighbor would have knocked on the door and said, you know, I'm not lying. Hashem said, give me Yitzchak so I can bring him up as an Ola. And Avraham would have said, okay, take him. Couldn't the Malach have said the same thing? You didn't withhold your son. So what's striking and what's strange is, what was Avram's great achievement in Hashem's eyes? Nothing, well, not all the things he did. And no mention is made of it. So why bother telling us about it anyway? And why doesn't Hashem take into consideration all the things Avram did that shows his ahava, his love? It's as almost as if the ahava Hashem isn't playing a role here. What's playing a role here is he didn't say no. He didn't withhold. Now, not withholding, is that an action? It's not an action. In technically speaking, it's not a maaseh. There's no action done in the physical world just to refuse to withhold. So what we're working with here, obviously, is that the greatness of the Akedah is not so much an action that was taken, but a lack of an action. That gets us into kind of complicated territory and it helps us ask a few other questions. Number one, was the mitzvah completed? That's tricky. That's a trick question. Well, if you say the mitzvah was for Avraham, as he understood it, to sacrifice Yitzchak, the mitzvah was not completed. Okay? There is a category of halacha, which is that the concept, that the words used, or the concept used is chashav lasos, you intended to do, venenas, and it was withheld from you. You were an onus, you couldn't complete it. You intended to do a mitzvah, but by forces greater than yourself that you couldn't control, you could not complete the mitzvah. Is that what we are celebrating here? Is that what we derive eternal benefit from and everlasting merit from? Somebody who intended to do a mitzvah but couldn't complete it? And what is really the value of a mitzvah that you intend to do but you cannot complete? Now we know there's a concept called machshava kamaaseh. When you hope and try to do something and you don't complete it, you still get some type of schar for wanting to do it. But be careful. I want to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. I have something. I know who it belongs to. I go to their house. I knock on their door. They moved to Australia. Nobody has their address. So did I try to do the mitzvah? Did I actually return the Aveda? No. If a person tries to bake challah and make the bracha on challah, but before they get to take the dough, and when they put the dough in the oven and it's rising and they forget that the oven's on, so the dough burns to a crisp, can you try to do the mitzvah? You bought the flour, you kneaded the flour, you put it together. Can you make the bracha, lahafrish challah min ha'isa? You can't make the bracha. You wanted to, but in the end, the mitzvah wasn't done. So is it possible that the Jewish people derive eternal benefit from something that falls into the category of chashav lasos? He tried to do it, venenas, and he was an onus, he was against his will, he couldn't complete it. An unfulfilled action. There's no mitzvah, there's no masa mitzvah here. In the end, there was no masa mitzvah. There was no action here. He didn't sacrifice Yitzchak. And clearly the actions he took leading up to that don't count, because the Malach doesn't count them at all. And if you think about it, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have counted for him, to his merit, all the things he did to get to the Akedah, if that would have been his merit, and then the Akedah wasn't completed, then all those previous things were for nothing anyway, so why count them? There can't be. There's something missing. All those efforts Avram took did not lead to the action he was intending. So they all kind of fell by the wayside. That's why the Malach doesn't even talk about them, because they didn't lead to their desired result anyway. The question here is there was something that Avram did complete. There's a mitzvah here that was completed, and it wasn't the mitzvah of bringing Yitzchak on the Akedah. And that helps us understand the answer to our next question, which is, why did Hashem stop Avram through a Malach? Why didn't Hashem stop Avram personally, like he instructed Avram personally? Why send a Malach to say stop? We'll get to that answer also. And in addition, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally, through the Malach, defines what Avram accomplished, he says, Ata yadati, now I know, ki yore Elokim ata, that you are a God-fearing man. Velo chasachta, you did not withhold. We have a lot of questions on these words. What do you mean, now I know? Now I know? In fact, here, on those words, now I know, the commentaries all pick up on that. And they say that Hashem is saying to Avraham, also, by the way, again, like Kachna, please take, I need something to prove, you know, I need something to prove that you are a God-fearing man. And now you've given me my proof. Now I have something to say to those, to the Satan, and to the other nations that say, why do I love you so much? Why am you so special to me? Yeshli pischon peh. Now I can have, now I have an answer. Now, achshav shiroim ki yori elokim atah. Now they see your yori elokim. Now I can have a retort for their challenges. So, first of all, Hashem says, please fulfill this nisayon. Please rise up and do it. Otherwise, everything you ever did is worthless. Okay? Then, in a certain way, Avram does a lot, and in the end, all that is worthless because Hashem doesn't talk about it and it doesn't lead to anything. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, but now you've done something that I can stand up and say to those that challenge, that you see, he is a Yare Elokim. So that's the Ata Yadati. What is it that Hashem now has to defend himself with? Why he loves Avram? And why he calls Avram a Yare Elokim? In other words, we have to admit, we have to say that if the Akedah is the high point of Avraham and Yitzchak's achievements, and he's called the Yare Elokim for his achievement, then the highest compliment of all compliments must be Yare Elokim. It must totally supersede everything else, including Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, which was on display in the beginning of the Parsha with all Avraham's efforts. Obviously, the Yiras Hashem overwhelms the Avas Hashem. And when Avram displays his Yiras Hashem, Hashem finally says, now I have something to say to them, and I call you, I say, you are a Yare Elokim. So we have to understand what a Yare Elokim is. And he says, and he explains, how is it that you are a Yare Elokim? Well, it's been demonstrated through the following. Lo chasachta, you did not withhold, which we said is no action, and the neighbor could have done it. And what does it tell us about Avram? Es bincha, your son. Es yechidcha, your only son. What is that for? What is that stress? You didn't withhold your son, your only one. In other words, the one you have all your plans, your future invested in. The only future you have, the only one that will carry on your legacy. You did not withhold him. Me many. What about the word me many? From me. As opposed to? Obviously me many. So why is Hashem asking here, mentioning here, me many? So we have a lot of technical questions. We want to read this pasuk, and we want to understand it in a meticulous way, and learn from it all of the many lessons hidden in it. And furthermore, when Avraham goes ahead and gets the ayil and brings that up for an ola, the malach calls to him again and says, a similar statement, but there's one word missing. He says, Hiyan asher asises hadavar hazeh, because you've done this thing. What is this thing now? Bringing up the ayil. That action. That was an action. That was a masa mitzvah, or something in place of what he should have done, but it's an action. He says, because you've done this action, v'lo chasachta, you did not withhold, es bincha, Es Yechidcha, but it doesn't say Mimeni the second time around. So what's that about? There's a reason for that. So we have a lot of technical questions going on here. A lot of technical questions. The way we're going to start with this is thinking about different categories of mitzvahs. Because here we're obviously working with two different types of achievement. There's everything Avram did, which doesn't get mentioned, as we said, and doesn't lead to its desired end anyway. He got up, he saddled, he cut the trees, he went, he traveled. All the things he did, which don't get mentioned in the end. In the end, it's just you didn't withhold, which, as we said, the neighbor could have done. And in addition to that, at the same time that these actions are not mentioned, they demonstrate great ahava, and the Chazal are making sure to mention the fact that it demonstrates a tremendous amount of ahava. At the same time, what Hashem does focus on is what he didn't do. Now, there are two types of mitzvahs. There's aseh, and there's los aseh. Aseh is something you have to do. In halachic terms, it's kum va'aseh, get up and take an action, do something. A los aseh, a prohibition, is described as shev, sit back, v'al taseh, and don't do anything. Now, we are experienced enough to know that just because we sit back and don't do anything, sheva al taseh, that does not imply lack of energy, lack of effort, some type of passive experience. We know that sometimes sitting back and not saying lashon hara, not taking revenge, not lying to save oneself, not acting on a passion, takes a tremendous amount of energy. Okay, we know that. So sheva al taseh, sit back and don't do anything, means, even if it takes every fiber of your strength, just don't act. That's a mitzvah, that's a low saseh. Now, which one do you think would be associated with ava, and which one do you think would be associated with yira? It's pretty straightforward. To act would be associated with ahava, with love. Because when a person is in love, they can't do enough. They're always searching for ways and opportunities to demonstrate their love. Right? They're always searching for a way to reach out, to get closer, to connect more to the object of their love. So ahava and aseh go together. But when a person does a mitzvah aseh, let's not make a mistake. There's also yiras Hashem. There's also because we fear Hashem and love Hashem. But the primary, the operative force is love. When a person doesn't sin, there's a desire to sin and they don't sin. They sit back. Sheva al tasa, they don't transgress a prohibition. That has to do with yira, fear of Hashem. Certainly what Avraham is being given such praise for is which one? Yira, sheva al tasa, you didn't withhold. Right? You sat back and you didn't withhold your son. You should have mounted a ferocious battle to save your son, and you didn't do that. You didn't pray. You didn't slow down. You didn't do anything to avoid sacrificing your son. You didn't withhold him in any way. So clearly what Hashem is focusing on here is the sheva al taseh, the yira. Now, do we or do we not get schar for this achievement of Avram? Sure we do. We get the schar and the zchuyos forever. Not only Avram, also Yitzchak. And we'll talk about that later. We get the zchuyos forever. Did Avram complete a mitzvah or did Avram not complete a mitzvah? Well, he certainly did not complete an action of sacrificing Yitzchak. But did he complete some other mitzvah? It can't be that we derive eternal benefit from a non-completed mitzvah, from chashav lasos benenas. He tried to, but he couldn't do it. Of course Avram completed a mitzvah here. The question is, which mitzvah did Avram complete? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, based on the Gemara, Marfuna brings this down, based on the Gemara in Kedushin, says the following. The Gemara in Kedushin says the following. Okay. Here. Second. Here's what it says. Yasha velo avar avera. Person sits back and does not transgress a prohibition. Nosnin lo schar ke'osa mitzvah. He gets schar as if he did a mitzvah. So I sit back and say, okay, I'm not eating treif, and I'm not killing, and I'm not stealing. I'm getting schar now as if I did a mitzvah. First of all, which mitzvah? Which mitzvah am I getting schar for? And the second thing is, why, does it apply to just sitting back when there's no battle? So the Gemara continues, no. It means we're talking about Shabbat Avera Liyado. An Avera is pressing on you, pushing on you, demanding you. V'nitzal himena, and you overcome it. Then you get schar as if you did a mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Yonah points out which mitzvah. Not some amorphous mitzvah. I didn't right now speak Lashon Hara, so I can't get schar for what? For what? Which particular mitzvah? So Rabbeinu Yonah points out. In Devarim Perek Yud, there is a mitzvah Aseh Midoraisa. The mitzvah Aseh is Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You shall fear Hashem your God. That is a mitzvah Doraisa. So when a person has an Avera that they're dying to do, and they restrain themselves, they get a mitzvah. For what? For the pasuk in Devarim Perek Yud, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear Hashem your God. That's the mitzvah they've just fulfilled. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. That's a mitzvah deraisa. Now what that means is the following. We normally think that, okay, if we go ahead and do a mitzvah, so an action's been done, we get a check. And let's say we want to do an avera, we don't, and we move on, and the day goes on, and the difficulty passes, we get through it, so nothing happened. That's it, nothing positive, nothing negative. What we're learning here is, of course something happened. Something happened which is invisible to everybody. Something happened inside ourselves. We just had an inner struggle. We wanted to transgress. We didn't transgress. We just fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and that is a check. It's a maaseh mitzvah. Did Avram complete a maaseh mitzvah? Yes. Of course Avram completed a maaseh mitzvah. He didn't complete the Akedah. He completed the maaseh mitzvah of fearing Hashem. How? What was the Avera that Avram wanted to do, and he sat back and he didn't do it? Shev al taseh. He wanted to say no. How do we know he wanted to say no? How much did he want to say no? So, here is an example of how much he wanted to say no. My grandfather Shah points out the following. The Ramah says that the reason we go to Tashlich is because, one of the reasons is, to remember the zechus of the Akedah. How does Tashlich have to do with the Akedah? Okay, and it's important to know this because Tashlich can, if you try to explain it to someone and we don't have a real grasp of what we're doing, it sounds pretty bad. Okay, throwing our sins to the fish, I mean, it sounds a little crazy. So, my grandfather explains here that the connection between Tashlich and the Akedah is the following. It says that when Avram was going, the Medrash says, "Kishahalach Avram Avinu im Yitzchak beno," when he was going with his son Yitzchak, "Asa hasatan nahar gadol lifneim," the Satan appeared before them, or transformed before them, you might say, as a raging river that they could not cross. But nevertheless, in nichnasu, they went in against the way, you know, against the current and the waters until their neck. Until Avraham employed what is later found in Tehillim, Hoshienu Elokim ki ba'u mayim ad nefesh, save me because the water is at my this is it, this is the last moment. If you don't save me, I am going to drown here. Now what that means is, what that medrash means is, that what Chazal is trying to tell us is that the water is analogous to the huge waves of Rachmanas. Water is often compared to Rachmanas, to Chesed. And this is analogous to the huge waves of Rachmanas that were welling up in Avraham's heart and in his mind. Overwhelming feelings of love for his child. Rachmanas for his child. And that's the Nahar Gadol. That is the great river. Nevertheless, despite that, Avraham persevered, continued forward until he said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't save me, I'm going to drown, which means if I perhaps am not capable of summoning up the psychic energy to be this cruel. I simply don't have it in me. How can I fulfill this nisayon? You have to help me. I can't, I have no more strength. I'm overwhelmed by my feelings of natural chesed, love for my child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to help me. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard him and helped him by letting that raging river, you know, lower its level, so to speak, and the Rachmana subside a little bit. When we go to Tashlich, what we're really asking is that our sins should be drowned in the overwhelming Rachmanas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what we're saying in Tashlich. We should throw our sins, so to speak, into God's hands and let His Rachmanas kind of be mevatel them, overwhelm them, carry them away. In any case, this is one example of the fact that Avram had a tremendous desire not to fulfill this mitzvah. In addition, we just finished the story of Sodom. What happened when Avram didn't quite understand why these people would all be destroyed, etc., etc.? He mounted a ferocious battle on their behalf, looking for zchuyos for them. Did he say a word regarding his son Yitzchak? Not one single word. Not a peep. In addition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself recognizes the overwhelming love Avram had for Yitzchak, and he stresses it by saying, you did not withhold es bincha, es yechidcha. Everything, your whole future. And not only Avram's Rachmanis, but as you well know, all his logic. The fact that this child is supposed to be his future, you know all this. The fact that he's talked against human sacrifice his whole life, it would undermine what, you know, his past. And it would destroy him of his future, and his whole life would be wasted completely. It is a total repudiation of everything he did. All of that. Nevertheless, despite all that, he refused in the end to do the sin. What sin? To say no. To let his own feelings overwhelm him. He refused to say no. Here's where we get back to one of our questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, now I know you're Yirei Elokim. The Rambam says that there are many people, and it's a positive thing, and there should be more people. It's a very good thing for somebody to be so consumed with Avas Hashem that it makes them like lovesick. Like when a person's totally enraptured with someone else, and all they can think about is that person day and night and night and day. And a person should get to a madrega where they're so consumed with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that nothing makes sense anymore. All they want to do, everything, is for Hashem. And in a sense, they're like crazy in love. Now, when somebody is in that state of mind, they will do things that don't necessarily make sense because they're blinded by love. So up until now, Avram did a lot of things out of love for Hashem. He took a lot of actions. Lech Lecha, left his country, and all of those things. Was thrown into a Kivshana Eish, whatever that means exactly, and he fought battles, all of that, out of love for Hashem. But yet, that all demonstrates that a person, yes, truly loves Hashem, but maybe that person, because of love for Hashem, is not thinking clearly. And that's why they'd go to any extreme, do any crazy thing out of this great love. That is not the height we're trying to get to. That is not the Jew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to produce, that has taken leave of their senses out of this great desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be close to the Spirit. Here, when the Torah stresses, he did not, out of love for Hashem, lose his reason and his normal feelings and his compassion. It was all very balanced. He still had all those normal feelings, and this was an act of overcoming them, not disregarding them and not even focusing on them because he was so pushed in the other direction. Now we can say to the others, why do I love Avram so much? This is not an imbalanced behavior. This is not an extremism. This is all extremely calculated, and it can only be demonstrated if the Torah points out to us how much love Avram truly had for Yitzchak the whole time. So that he did this act of restraint, not because, you know, he was just, you know, totally swayed or addicted in a sense, or in a frenzy of love for God. But he did this fully aware of both sides of the equation. So the Avera that Avram refused to commit is saying no. So therefore, Avraham has at that same moment fulfilled the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Now it continues. It works further. It's not just if a person has an Avera facing them that they're dying to do and they withhold themselves from that Avera. They get a schar of Yiras Hashem. But if a person wants to do has a mitzvah presented to them, and they don't want to do that mitzvah, they just don't want to put in the effort it takes to fulfill that mitzvah, whatever it is, going to the mikvah, or returning a lost object, or giving a tzedakah that should be given, or whatever it is, person does not want to put in the effort to do that mitzvah, okay? They want to refuse the mitzvah. They want to do sheval tase, sit back and do nothing. Mivatel enase, just nullify a mitzvah's ase. They didn't transgress, they just didn't do. Okay? With mikvah, it's harder, of course, yeah, that's a transgression. But there are many mitzvahs, you just didn't do them. You just lost the opportunity. And the person pushes themselves to do the mitzvah, they get a schar too. They get the schar of fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, we always think that what takes place in our head, doesn't mean anything. It's just what we do or what we don't do in the end. That's not true at all. Most of the battles that take place, most of the spiritual growth that takes place in a person's mind, in a person's heart, where nobody can see it, and a person can go through battles like this numerous times a day, and for each one that they succeed in, they have fulfilled the mitzvah maase, they've done an action. That's the chiddush here. It's an action. It's a maase. To pass the test that goes and overcome the Yetzer Hara in our hearts is an action, and it counts as a mitzvah doraisa. What we are deriving eternal benefit from here is a mitzvah maaseh that Avram completed of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira in the most difficult of circumstances against every fiber of his emotions and his logic that he didn't say no. Now we begin to understand why it has to say mimeni from me. Let's say a person is faced with an avera. They have an opportunity to steal or commit Arias, okay, and they have a big battle and they desperately want to sin, but they don't because of their reputation, because they don't want to deal with the fallout afterwards. Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? No, because it had nothing to do with God at all. It had nothing to do with Hashem. It was simply for their own reasons. So when Hashem describes here Avram's accomplishment, he said, Lo chasachta, you didn't withhold, which means you didn't refuse to do this mitzvah. You didn't say no. That is a mitzvah. And who didn't you say no about? Es bincha, esichidcha, the one you loved. It was a huge battle. It wasn't you haven't taken leave of your senses. It was a tremendous battle. It took every aspect of your psychology and your intellect and the promises I made for you, your love, your rachmanus, everything you taught everybody. Everything was on the line. And why did you refuse to, why did you not refuse to do this mitzvah? Why did you not withhold your son? Mimeni. Only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for any other reason. Not for any other reason, only mimeni. So the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira must be mimeni or it's not the mitzvah. It can't be that a person restrains themselves from an avera for any reason other than it's against Hashem's will. Or it can't be that a person refuses, okay, rather to do an avera, refuses to give in because it has any benefit for them or will help them or for them, there's some ulterior motive. It has to be mimeni. However, interestingly enough, when he goes and brings the ayil, and he does a maaseh, a deed, and he gets blessed for it, the malach says, you did two things. Now you did a deed, You did something. Yana Sharasisa Sadavar Hazeh. Now you did this. Now he makes reference to the Ayil. Perhaps even reference to all the things Avraham did in the past also. Now, and in addition, you didn't withhold your son, but it doesn't say mimeni. Because the halacha is the following. Mitzvos eina trichin kavana. In other words, if I give tzedakah, if I return a lost object, without any kavana to do it because God told me to, because my mother said do it, go take this over there, nothing to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, do I or do I not get a mitzvah? You do. Why? Because in the end, the masa was done. There's an action, and it was done. So in the world, in the olam hamasa, in the world, it was done. It exists. Mitzvahs eina tzrichin kavana. To do a mitzvah masa, it's good to have kavana. It's much better to have kavana. It changes the person and the action and gives meaning to everything if there's kavana. But technically speaking, when you do something, as long as it's done, it exists. It's a good thing, it's positive, and with or without the kavana behind it. However, when you don't do an avera, it has to have kavana, that it's only because of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this takes us back to where one of our earlier questions. Why did Hashem stop him through a malach? We said that in the world of maaseh, until he gave the ayil, which was the completion of getting up early, gathering the you know, saddling his donkey, cutting the trees, traveling. The completion of that was in the aisle, right? That was the end, the maaseh. That was the mitzvah's maaseh, the maaseh mitzvah of all of those efforts. Okay? So therefore, in the world of maaseh, all of his efforts didn't lead to the sacrifice of Yitzchak. They led to the sacrifice of an aisle in place of Yitzchak. Okay? So in the world of Masa, his intentions and his actions were distinct. They weren't the same. He intended to put up Yitzchak, and he put it, and he killed, and ultimately sacrificed an ayil. There's a disconnect between his machshava and his Masa. But in Hashem's world, the Yirah Shamayim of not withholding was there the entire time. There's no disconnect from the first step till the last step. In Hashem's mind, there is no distinction between the machshava and the masa. His machshava and his masa were the same. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have come down, my grandfather says this, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have come down and said, don't sacrifice him. Then we would read the stories. Hashem told him to sacrifice, and then Hashem said, don't. So from Hashem's perspective, there's a disconnect between his intentions and his actions. But that's not true. Only in this world, in the lower worlds, in the world of people, in the world of malachim who relate to people, it looks like there's a disconnect between his actions, his intentions and his actions. Because there is. He intended to sacrifice Yitzchak, and he couldn't. Chashav lasos, he tried, but nenas, he couldn't. He wasn't permitted to complete it. So he gave an ayil. So in this world, there is not a completion. There's a disconnection. So that message is given through the malach as a lower stage of creation associated more with the way we see things and how we operate. But from Hashem's perspective, there was no distinction. The machshava led to the maaseh. It was all one. He fulfilled the mitzvah completely of fearing Hashem, of not restraining, not refraining from doing the mitzvah of giving Yitzchak. And therefore, from Hashem never says, don't complete it. Because in Hashem's mind, it's completed. And the proof is, Afro shel Yitzchak sabor al ha'akeda. Yitzchak's ashes are still there, piled up for us on the akeda as an eternal merit for us. Now, in the olam hamaseh, he wasn't burned. But in the olam hamachshava, as we've spoken about so many times, of course he was. Because not only did he not, Avram not refuse, Yitzchak didn't refuse too. And now we focus on Yitzchak. The very beginning, Hashem said to Avram, Kachna, please complete this nisayon. Otherwise, everyone will say that everything you did till now is for nothing. And we ask the question, say, well, how's that? I mean, the fact that he went to Canaan, left his home, taught thousands of people about Hashem, started all the major religions, taught chesed, everything he did, that's all for nothing because he didn't sacrifice his son. And who would even know anyway that Hashem said to do it and he didn't do it? It wouldn't even know. how could it be that everything else is for nothing? So my grandfather, Shaw, points out here that Yitzchak was involved in this Akedah too. And we forget about him. One of the major lessons learned from this Akedah is that Avram had obviously been very, very successful in conveying to his child that same Madrega of Yiras Hashem, in that Yitzchak would be willing to also restrain his natural impulse to live, survival instinct, and allow himself to be slaughtered. What Hashem is saying to Avram here is, if everything you did till now can't be passed on to your child, then it was all for nothing. And then it lives and dies with you and you alone. And you were a great person, but there's no future to it. Please, please pass this nisayon, you and Yitzchak. Please demonstrate that the Yiras Shamayim you have is transferable to the next generation, so that everything you did till now has a tachlis. Otherwise, it's just a story of a great person who once lived, and nothing further. So in the end, what we're saying here is that Avram bequeaths to us in Yitzchak two great lessons. We learn about the mitzvah, the avas Hashem, and actions, and their value. And we learn about yiras Hashem, and the lack of action, and its value. And in the end, the things a person does, the ahava, is not taken at to be as significant as what a person doesn't do. If we see that. And we all have met people, and it's a normal human malady. People that have a lot of love for Hashem will go to great extents to do chesed, and to do tzedakah, and to be forgiving, and to say nice things, and maybe even not speak lashon hara, and really good. And in action, in maaseh, they demonstrate to the world a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those very same people, it's all of us, when a challenge arises to restrain from something, to hold back, we're not as strong. We're not as strong at all. We succumb. We give in. And we're weak. We fail. And that takes place inside the person, where nobody ever knows about it. But that is the true core of the person's devotion to Hashem and their closeness to Hashem. What we do sometimes could be in contradiction to what's really going on inside of us. It seems like we're full of avas Hashem, but that doesn't contradict the fact that inside of us there are things that we shouldn't be doing, or shouldn't be saying, or shouldn't be thinking, or shouldn't be going, or shouldn't be touching, or eating, or looking, and we can't hold back. Every person is always plagued with these two contradicting forces at the same time. My grandfather used to say, you can see a person in the course of not 5 minutes, 1 minute, be like a malach and be like a behemoth. We have conflicting forces within us. The behemoth aspect is the impulses we can't say no to, and the malach aspect is the wonderful, visible actions that we take that make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. So in the end, what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu focus on? The invisible part. Now, we've spoken about the idea of Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyu, be Kadosh. Rashi says in the Parshas, Kedoshim Tiyu is Purushim, separated. Kedusha is used, kind of like very generically for a lot of things. But Kedusha has a real definition. It has like a scientific definition in science of Torah. The definition of Kedusha, of Kadosh, is where is the lo sases, where we don't transgress, where we hold back. Sheva al tase, sit back and don't do. Don't transgress, don't say that, don't go there, don't look at that, don't eat that, don't do that action. That's called Kedusha. Just like all of that takes place inside of ourselves in a completely invisible way, so too Hashem says, Kadoshim to you, you should be Kadosh, Ki Kadosh Ani, because I am Kadosh. And Hashem almost never describes himself, it's rare. And what is one aspect of Hashem's Kedusha? Invisible too. Also invisible. And you know what else is invisible? Where this battle takes place in the neshama of a person, the neshama is invisible too. But let's not make a mistake about it. Although the neshama of a person is invisible, the effects of a healthy neshama on a person are not invisible. A neshama that's at work, a neshama that's active and dominant, its effects are not invisible. Because the person that is guided by a neshama that's always at work, that's always pushing and moving forward, that person eventually slowly evolves into the kind of person that is just is and is seen to be, not entirely, but some, there are always glimmers of what the model of a Jew should really look like. A person of restraint, a person of discipline, a person of, who is generous of spirit, forgiving and wise, an understanding of human complexity. That is a person that ultimately is respected. A person that has no restraint, that every day lurches from one extreme to the other, depending on impulse, will not be considered wise or relevant or, you know, anyone to talk to or take a lesson from. It's a person who has narrowed down their choices and only chooses within a certain spectrum, and everything else is out. They are mufrash, separated from everything else. That person has an identity. That person can be trusted. That person in the end is a baal emuna. I don't mean emuna in Hashem, but other people have emuna in that person, that they're solid as a rock. That's what the neshama does to a person. After years and years and years of fulfilling the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Hatira. So the main point here is, don't think that just the few things you accomplish during the day, you know, count for you. Today I did 3 mitzvahs. I visited an old lady. I gave tzedakah. You know, everything you don't do during the course of the day, every time there's Es Hashem Elokecha Hatira, every time there's an avera that presents itself and a person doesn't transgress, or a mitzvah that presents itself and a person doesn't refuse to do it, that all day long, that's building us, that's strengthening us. And that in the end is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. That in the end is the whole result of the Akedah, to pass on to us that ability to have Yiras Hashem, to fulfill the mitzvahs, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. And that's our job, to pass it on to the children. Because the truth is, children can see parents do a lot of nice things, but when it comes to self-control, and there is none, that speaks louder than anything. So to pass on Yiras Hashem, like Avram was able to do to Yitzchak, to be able to pass it on so Yitzchak too would not refuse to do this mitzvah, that in the end, that's, first of all, we've obviously been successful as a nation in doing this, because here we are. And so many Jews have gone to their deaths in this, following the pattern of Avram and Yitzchak at the Akedah. We have much to be proud of. But in the end, it's not just the mitzvahs we pass on to our children, but they have to also witness the things that are not, that we don't, you know, the roads we don't walk down, and the Yiras Hashem at work, even if sometimes it has to be explained and demonstrated, that's what's behind what just didn't happen here, or what we don't, you know, get involved in here.
Control our Yetzer
Hara.
Control our Yetzer Hara.
That's it in a nutshell. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.